Excellent. Okay, so now we've spoken about three different kinds of remedies. There's the Sofer Alei Nomatan remedy, there's the remedy of Kfiya, according to at least some poskim. Now I want to ask about a fourth remedy, and that is Bidi'eved, if the Poel backed out and for some reason you weren't able to hire workers to finish the job in his stead, you weren't able to do it yourself, what is there some ex post facto remedy where you could actually recover your losses from the Poel? Notice that all of the remedies we've been discussing until now were remedies really about seeing the contract through to completion. Right, so from a certain perspective, they're like within contract remedies. Can I deceive him to finish the job? Can I impose the cost of finishing the job on the Poel? Can I compel him to finishing the job? Now again, what we saw in the tour was that there's a hierarchy between these. Obviously, getting the worker to finish the job is more of a direct satisfaction of the contractual terms than is hiring a different worker to finish it and imposing some of the costs on the Poel who breached. Now I want to know about this different consideration about whether if the Poel didn't perform and you weren't able to hire other workers to do so or to be kofa him to finish, can you recover your actual losses from him? So it's really it's a question of nezek. Now notice that our sugya doesn't mention anything about collecting nezikin. So do you find that significant that it's omitted from our sugya? How would you make sense of that? What do you guys... Adam.
In the sugya seems to have this assumption that you will be able to find other people to complete the work. It says if you search for people and you cannot find someone to do the work, then go and find someone for 10 to 20 times the value of 40, 50 zuzim.
Yeah, so you're saying maybe
that it will be completed some way.
It's interesting. So you're just saying that our sugya is operating on the empirical assumption that you'll find somebody to do the job, but it's really just silent on the kind of rare case where you're not able to get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. That's a nice suggestion. Anybody else have a suggestion?
Well, maybe even if you consider this nezek, wouldn't this be like very hard to categorize exactly what nezek this is? Like, maybe you could say that this is like nezek shenaria, or like because there's no physical damage happening here.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying, Donnie, is that even if the or you could put it, it looks like you want to reformulate it. I think one way to reformulate what you're saying is to say that yeah, even if there's harm that was suffered, this is not going to be the kind of nezek that's recoverable.
Yeah,
you know,
so
either
one week. So there for a plethora of reasons, I guess.
Yeah, so right, it's kind of the opposite of Adam's point. You're saying maybe the Gemara doesn't talk about collecting nezikin because there's no basis for nezikin. Maybe it's grama, maybe it's minias harevach, it's like mevatil kiso shel chaver, as opposed to somehow causing like a real material loss. Something along those lines, right? Donnie? Something along those lines, yeah. Yoni. But let me just point out, this is the opposite of the way Adam was looking at it, because Adam seemed to be saying that you would be able to collect tvias nezikin. It's just the Gemara doesn't contemplate it because the Gemara is assuming that you'll be able to find somebody to do the job. But in Chanam, if you couldn't, maybe you could charge the Poel. Yoni.
Yeah, I think this also relates a little bit to like a larger question, which I think Cole brought up a while ago, which is about our sugya is like.
I saw Cole sent to the WhatsApp that he's like an hour off, and then he'll be joining again next week.
I think that was a daylight savings thing.
Right.
It's now 7 hours, it's 6 hours for a little bit.
Right. All right, well, we're looking forward to getting him back. But go on, Yoni.
Either way, when he was with us, like a while ago, he mentioned that our sugya, the Gemara itself is like very sparse in like what it's talking about for covering damages and the different conditions, while the Rishonim seem to like really expand on it. So I think it's just like how you relate to like that expansion. Would you then assume that expansion will also include the Nigra Mark Army in addition? I think that's like one of the larger questions of like the whole thing, for all the issues we're dealing with.
Meaning what?
Meaning that if you think that Gemara is the case and that's it, and there's nothing, and what the Gemara says, that, you know, that's the din. So the Gemara doesn't mention any explicit mention of garmis, and presumably there's no chiyuvim if anything does get damaged.
Yeah.
But if you assume that there are, that the Gemara is more, that there, that the Gemara is pretty sparse and that really any expansion is justified, so then you can have a serious discussion about whether or not this constitutes garmi or whether it constitutes grama or something of the sort.
Yeah, but what do you mean that the discussion is very sparse?
Just because, like, we're, like, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim have, like, pages and pages of discussion for something which is, like,
Yeah. Underlined
in the Gemara.
So Yoni, tell me if this is what you're getting at. I think this is what you're getting at. Is that, look, our Gemara is really, is generally focused on Schiras Poalim, which is, let's say, a subset of contractual questions, and this is just not the place to discuss Hilchos Nezikin. So the reason why this would be like a different way of getting at Adam's point, there would be a claim for Nezek, but it's just not the topic of our Gemara, because our Gemara is talking about Schiras Poalim questions, claims that arise under tort are really Bavakama questions, but in Echanami, this, you know, there may or may not be a Tvia under Nezek here. It's just not the topic of discussion in the sixth parak of Bamitzia.
Yeah, I'm saying even more than in some ways, that like this relates also to the past question, the question about whether or not specific performance not being mentioned in our Gemara is relevant. And I think it's like a larger question when analyzing this whole Gemara is how much do we add to the Gemara based on like other sugyas, based on other things we know, and how much of this Gemara, you know, its end all, code of law about everything to do with spirit quality.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I thought Mindy was trying to get in a comment over there in the background. Who, by the way, is the 551 number? Is that you, Yoni?
No, I'm 303.
Yeah, it's 551 Ben? Who's the 551 number?
The Greek spy.
Is that? Oh, it's Ben. Okay. Great. Is that like a Charleston area code now, or? Oh, yeah? I thought you guys are under quarantine. You shouldn't be driving to... can't be driving on the roads.
I've never seen that.
Okay. Right, that's true. All right, good. How's the drive going, Ben? It's all right?
It's good. We're in the heart of Maryland right now.
Okay, you should have stopped by in Philly to visit me on your way down.
We should have. That's true.
Next time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay, Ben, you got it. Right. Okay, Ben, yeah, just mute yourself because we hear a lot of feedback from the roads over there. Okay, sure. Good.
Got it.
I still hear Ben. All right. So let's take a look here at the... Oh, Adam, you have a hand, or...?
Ben, mute it on your phone.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, you just gotta... I think you have to mute your phone, otherwise we hear a lot of feedback.
I'll press star six.
There we go.
Okay. I think going back to Danny's point, like in terms of the whole thing with Dina Garments, there's an interesting question of where the oven comes from. I mean, you have two different cases theoretically. If I hire someone, let's say, we had the case of someone dealing with the flax, where my actions of putting the flax into the water is causing the loss, because if it's not dealt with right now, then you have that loss.
Yeah.
Versus in the case of hiring someone to go up on vintage season,
yeah,
where it still exists, it's a natural phenomenon. It's beyond the actions that I'm doing. I'm not doing any actions that are causing the loss.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's going to be... So we're going to get to that, Adam. It's exactly right. Meaning, we'll have to analyze all these cases just from the perspective of Hilchos Nezikin and see whether you could be deemed to be the cause of the loss under principles of Dina Degarmi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. Let's take a look at that right now. So here are the different views of the Rishonim with respect to whether you could recover Nezek ex post facto. The Ramban in Bamitzia Ayin Vav Mibes says, Umihu, im lo sachar alehem, if you didn't hire workers, ela hifsid baham tanasan, rather you lost because of their failure to perform, einam mishalmin, they are not obligated to cover your losses, they don't have to pay damages for your losses, shaharei lo kiblu alehem l'shalem, because they didn't accept to pay ex post facto losses. So the Ramban seems to say there's no chiyuv nezikin here. Why is there no chiyuv nezikin on his view? Because the only reason for there being liability in this case, in general, liability to pay the costs of the new workers, I think is mitam, some variation of chiyuv arev. And if you look at the Ramban earlier, I think the Ramban also had this formulation that the reason why you could be socher aleihen is because they're mischayiv themselves to pay that amount. But the Ramban seems to be saying that we could assume that there's voluntary hischayivos for them to cover your costs of new workers, but there's no evidence to think that there's hischayivos to cover nezikin. And so the Ramban here actually says, look, if you lost because of their failure to perform, you're stuck. You don't get anything. And I think that's grounded in his view that socher aleinu matan itself stems from chiyuv mitam arev, the voluntary hischayivos idea. Okay? And you see here the Nemuka Yosef, I think, quotes a similar idea. The Nemuka Yosef says, Umihu, im lo sachar aleihem ela hifsid baham tenasam, ena mishalmim, sharei lo kiblu aleihem l'shalem, ela sh'im rotza balabayis sochar aleihem. Right, the balabayis' remedy is limited to being able to be sochar aleihem. He has no remedy of ex post facto collecting nezikin. So I think both the Ramban and the Nemuka Yosef are clear in denying that there could be chiyuv nezikin in our sugyas. If anything, there's just chiyuv mitam arev, and the hischayvus mitam arev is limited to the remedy of socher aleihem. Okay. The Ritva seems to disagree. You recall the Ritva commenting on the Mishnah in Ein Heim Beis says that there are two different kinds of davar ha'aved. V'nokat davar ha'aved betrei gavni, o sheyesh bo avedas mamon mamish, dumya de lahalos pishtanam in amishra. There's one case of real... Oh, bye, Gabe. I think we lost. Gabe had to drop out. There's one case of real monetary loss where if he backs out, you're going to suffer a hefsid. And then there are the weaker cases where there's hefsid ritzono, right? Like you hired a band for the wedding. It's not like you're going to suffer monetary loss from the non-performance. It's just lo nasis kavanaso, but there's no hefsid mamon. And then he says, so in both cases, you have the remedy of socher aleinu matan, but there's going to be a difference between these two cases with respect to ex post facto tvias nezikin. Umiyu, kol asher lo socher aleinu velo hitan, b'seifa de'ika hefsid mamon mishtalem mehen kidei scharan, o kidei achavila shabas aliyado. So the Ritva here says that there's going to be there's no right to collect tashlumin for a davar she'en bo hefsid mamon. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, presumably that's because the value of the tashlumin is just $0, right? If you suffered a non-monetary loss, there's not going to be a monetary basis for tashlumin, right? I think that's what he's getting at. But then what's interesting is when he contemplates nezikin payments for the cases of davar ha'avod of hefsid mamon, he caps the liability at kidei scharan o kidei hachavila. Right? So, what do you think is going on there? It's kind of an in-between ground. How do you understand that phrase? I think what's going on, unless anybody wants to preempt me here on the suggestion, anybody have a suggestion? What I think is going on is that the Ritva's l'shitaso, he thinks that the chiyuv here is mitam arev, but he's thinking that you could have the chiyuv mitam arev carry over from socher aleihen to tvias nezikin bidyeved, but still it's going to be capped at the liability of kedei scharan or kedei chavil liado. The Ramban, who also thought that whatever liabilities exist would be limited to chiyuv mitam arev, the Ramban just thinks that liability mitam arev, even within the amount of kedei scharan, would be limited to socher aleihen. Right? So the set of remedies that you have, mitam arev, is limited to hiring new workers to finish the job. It would not extend to ex post facto damages. The Ritva thinks, like the Ramban, that the chiyuv here is mitam arev, but he thinks that it could extend to ex post facto damages, but capped at ad kedei scharan or kedei achavila, which the poll is meschayiv himself for. Anybody have thoughts on this? It was a really interesting back and forth.
I think it's pretty elegant, in a sense.
The Ritva or the Ramban?
The Ritva, more than the Ramban. But he carries it over.
Yeah, I mean, carrying it over, he's saying, look, there's this chayvas with respect to almost all things here, and that could be either for Socher Alein or for Tashlumei Nezikin after the fact. Right? I think the Ramban's interesting because the Ramban's saying, no, the hischaivas is limited to the, I guess, the more primary remedy of ex-ante hiring workers. So that's an interesting machlokas. Yoni, I see you have a hand.
Yeah, wait, why is it capped for the Ritva? What's the argument for why it should be capped?
Because I assume the Ritva is thinking that the liability here is not mitam nezek. The liability here is really mitam hischaivas of arev. But that the hischaivas mitam arev will extend to losses that you suffer at the breaching poel's hand. So
then why is there a distinction between mamon and non mamon? Whether there's a hefted mamon versus a hefted.
Yeah, I guess because I think he would say that the poel is mischaiv himself to cover whatever losses you have ad kidmei haschiros. But if it's not a hefsid moment, it's not a real loss, even with respect to the ischaivos. I hear what you're saying, Yoni. You're saying, once it's ischaivos mitam arev, I could extend the idea to say, oh, I'm also going to pay you ad kedei ha-chavila or ad kedei scharan for not having a band at the wedding. Is that what you're suggesting, Yoni?
Yeah, I think yeah, if anything, based on that question, I would be more led to argue that the Ritva was probably arguing there is a chiyuv midin nezek, but it's capped for some reason because I guess you can only be chayav as much as you put in, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't bear more responsibility than you would possibly have gained.
Right. Right. So does everybody agree that this comparison, this very interesting comparison between the Ritva and the Ramban here, both seem to be working mitam arev, not mitam nezikin. Like for the Ritva, it's like it looks like a payment for nezikin, but really it's a payment mitam arev for ex post facto losses. And then just the Ramban and the Ritva are disagreeing whether hischaivos mitam arev only covers ex ante remedies of Socher Alein HaMatan or even ex post facto losses. Yeah. Yakir, do you have thoughts on this?
No, that seems right.
Okay. Good. Now, I think let's look at these two other sources here. I think the Hagos HaShri, which we have seen earlier, is the first one to really move us into Nezikin land, really away from the Sischaivas Mitam Arev. So remember, the Hagos HaShri in context here in Perek Vav Siman Beis was arguing that for a lot of these cases, you don't even need Davar HaArev, Davar HaAved as a Mechayev. He thought the only time you need Davar HaAved as its own Mechayev is when the Baal HaBayis would have suffered the loss anyway, right? So there was no band available, there's no other bands, there was nobody else to pick the flax. He turned to me and hired me to do it, so I could be chayav mitam davar ha'aved, even when there's no basis for liability in Nezikin, because he would have suffered the loss anyway. I'm not the cause of his loss, but af al pichin, under some theory of contract, I'm gonna be chayav mitam Nezikin. I'm gonna be chayav, under theory of contract, I'll be chayav mitam for the davar ha'aved. But he thinks in cases where you could be held liable mitam nezek, you don't even need davar ha'aved as a remedy. And so he said, V'im davar ha'aved, if it's the kind of davar aved sha'al yidei gramaso nasis aved, where it only became an irreparable loss through my causal interaction, meaning at the time that he hired me, he could have hired other people, But through hiring me, he forewent the opportunity of hiring others, and that induced him to suffer. And now my breach is causing him the actual loss. Nira li dechayavin l'shalim kol hefseido mishum dina degarmi. He thinks that the Poland would have to pay the entire amount of the loss, mitam dina degarmi. So the Agos Ashri is really the first one to explicitly invoke principles of Nezek, separate from Arev and Davar Aved ideas. And he says the liability would be for the kol hefseido, for the entire loss. Okay. So he's explicitly being mechayev here mitam nezikin. The Chumash Hadeshen, interestingly, assimilates this idea of the Hagos Ashri, but then he blends it with the distinction raised by the Ritva between a monetary loss and a non-monetary loss. So Chumash Hadeshen in Simen Shin Chavtes quotes the Hagos Ashri. If it's a davar ha'avod, im al yadam nasa davar ha'aveg, kigon shahayipol imitsuyin liskor, the elu niskaru v'chazru, chayavin l'shalim lo kol ahevse midin adagarmi. Okay, so like the Hagos Ashri. However, here's the exception, ela imkein have a hefsid she'eno shel mamon, kigon purpuran l'kalo chalul memes. He seems to think that if it's a hefsid she'eno shel mamon, then there won't be liability under Garmi. Okay. Now, I would have thought that the reason for that is because the value of the Nezek on the market is really zero. He says, V'nira d'hu adin melami latino glav hefsid mamon. V'nira gamkein atam mishum d'dina d'garmi less n'hu rak ben mamon. It's an interesting idea. It seems to be saying that the whole category of dina d'garmi is just limited to monetary losses. I'm not sure if he means that the value of recovery for all Nezek is limited to Mammon cases, or he's saying that within the subset of Nezikin called Dina Degarmi, the Halacha only recognizes the category of loss recoverable under Dina Degarmi as being those cases of real Hefsid Mammon. But the Chumash Hadeshen is saying that the reason why you can't recover for Hefsid She'eino Shel Mamon is because Dina Degarmi doesn't apply to those cases. So what do you guys think? So anybody have thoughts on this? Donnie, you have thoughts
on... Sounds to me like you're saying the categorical one.
Yeah, like the...
Like categorically, Dina Degarmi doesn't apply in cases where there isn't like actual monetary.
Yeah. It does sound that way. Then it's almost like a chiddush in Hilchos Dina Degarmi that it's limited to Mammon. Or maybe it's a chiddush in Nezikin that he thinks that somehow Tvias Nezikin is relevant when it's not really a chiv Mammon. Right? That there's some shame Nezek that's applicable, assuming it's not a Garmi case, outside of monetary losses. Okay, in any event, this Shulchan Aruch here in Simen Shin Lamed Gimel Vav basically paskins the Chumash Hadeshen and the Mukah Yosef. Here's what Shulchan Aruch says. So tell me what you think he's citing. The Ramah says, "V'im lo sachar alei nacherim, ein apolim chayavin l'shalim lo hazeko." So that's the Nebuka Yosef and the Ramban who seem to say that all these remedies for Davar Ha'aved are just remedies under contract. They don't give rise to ex post facto claims for damages. But then he says, "V'davka b'davar ha'aved she'eino mamon, kigom malamid ochadome, aval b'davar ha'aved shamamon." Sarich l'shalim kol hazeko. Then he quotes the Chumash Hadeshen, who seems to cut the exact opposite way and say that if it's a hefsid mamon, then you could recover your monetary losses. So it's a little strange. It sounds like the Ramah is trying to reconcile the Nemuke Yosef's position with the position of the Hagos Ashri. Just hold on 1 second. Yeah? Yeah, do you need something? It's in here. You come in here to get it. Does everybody see how the Shulchan Aruch seems to be mixing those two views together? And the Shach is upset by this. The Shach thinks that the two views are really irreconcilable. Just hold on 1 second, guys. The Hagos Ashri seems to... The Shach seems to say that these two views are really irreconcilable. So you could see he says... Nira Shaharav Mechalik, Shana Muke Yosef, Mayri Bedavra Avachaino Mamon. Aval Be'emes bin Muke Yosef, Mashma Dafilu Hifsidlo Mamon, Eno Chayv Lashayim Lo Hazeko. But if you read the Nemuke Yosef itself, it sounds like you would never be Chayv for an Ezekin, even if it was a Hefsid Mamon. And it was the Chiddush of the Chumash Hadeshen to suggest that distinction. I think the Shach actually doesn't like that reading, doesn't like the suggestion of the Rama altogether. Okay. Adam has a question. But this is mostly what I wanted to cover for our discussion right now. Just to get off this idea of ex post facto, is there a remedy for an Ezekin? Although the Shulchan Aruch seems to mix the views together, it sounds like it's Machlokas Rishonim. For the Nemuke Yosef, there's no ability to recover at all. Same for the Ramban. For the Ritva, there might be an ability to recover Nezek ex post facto, but only Ad Kedei Scharan and only Mitam Hischaivos De Arev, which is artificially going to allow you to collect ex post facto, but it's not Mitam Nezek. The Hagos HaShri says that if explicitly allows you to collect Mitam Dina De Garmi, and the Chumash Hadeshen limits that at least to a Hefsid of real Mamon. Okay, we have a hand from Adam. Go for it, Adam.
And to go back to the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Scroll down, run. So the first line, what exactly is the case he's proposing? V'im lo sachar lehim acherim, in a podim chayvin l'shalem l'hazeko. Are we talking about v'im lo sachar, is that he didn't attempt to, or he wasn't successful?
Yeah, really good. Good point. So the Shach wants to read this as saying, maybe what the Rama means that he's interpreting the Nemuke Yosef as saying, like, the Bala Bias, if the Bala Bias was somehow negligent and didn't attempt or didn't try to hire workers, he's just like, oh, what the heck, I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to mitigate, I'll just cover damages from them. Then the Polim are not going to be chayv in losses. But if he did attempt to be Socher Acherim and just wasn't able to, then maybe he would be able to recover losses. Right? That's how the Shach actually wants to read the Rama in the end. He says, it's like a contributory negligence. The Bala Bias was negligent in not hiring workers, so he can't now turn around and say that the Polim are mazik him. That's how the Shach wants to read the Nemuke Yosef, in order to explain why the Rama merges the Nemuke Yosef's view with the Chumash Hadeshen's view. But I think if you read the Nemuke Yosef himself, that's not the sense you get. You don't get the sense here that the Bala Bias was at fault. It's that he didn't hire workers, rather he lost by their breach. Right? Eina Mishalman. The Shach would have to say here that it means if he was negligent by not hiring workers. Right? But I think that's a chiddush way of reading the Nemuke Yosef. Yeah, but that's a really good point, Adam.
So another point, also, this is slightly more removed, but when you're talking about the Nezek, what does the Nezek come to include? Meaning, if I give you a shirt to mend so I can sell it, or give you a shirt to one tailor so I can sell it.
Yeah.
What's Nezek? Is it the principle, or are we also considering the
guy that I... It's really above a comma sugya that we discussed last year, but you'll see, generally, it's very limited. It's really, it could be the actual losses. The only time we saw so far that you could hold somebody liable for the expectation damages, meaning what you would have made had you sold it on the market, was the Nesivus' interpretation of the Ravid in the Zolshafat case, right? Where I hired you to buy the wine for me that I was going to sell at a profit. There he said you could recover expectation damages, mitam arev, because there's like an explicit hischaivos. But mitam nezek is mevatel kiso shel chavero, which the halacha says you can't generally recover.
Okay,
Yashar Koach, everybody. This is, I'm going to make, in the next couple, I'm just going to make a very brief comment here. In the last section, there's three shitos that distinguish between this question of Chazara B'davar Ha'aved, between the case where the Bala Bias is Chozer and causes a loss on the Poel, and where the Poel is Chozer and causes a loss on the Bala Bias. They think there's reasons to think that maybe in one direction it's Nezek, but not in the other direction. So we're going to spend about 10-15 minutes discussing that in the next Chabura. And then we're going to move on to this more contemporary question which is actually our next sigya anyway. So it's like almost fortuitous that the coronavirus pandemic hit just as we were getting to this sigya, about what happens when somebody backs out of a contract, machmas ones. And, you know, when there's an onus of a makas medina, like a pandemic, where everybody, no one's really at fault, how do we allocate the losses? All right, so that's the plan going forward. I'm going to open up a new Google Doc with the Chazara Machmas Ones discussion. All right, everybody? Yashar koach.
We can discuss the first...